Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Richard, today we're going to talk about an article written by Philip Zimbardo in Psychology Today entitled Young Men and the Empathy Gap.
Right.
Now, Philip Zimbardo, his name is pretty familiar for a number of reasons. I actually had the opportunity to work on a forensic case with him at one point.
Did you really?
A few years ago. But he has written a number of books, mm-hmm. and one of the books that he wrote was entitled The Lucifer Effect, mm-hmm. which I thought was a very provocative name. Mm-hmm. But what he's talking about is sort of this violence in boys and violence in, you know, why do people become violent and aggressive and things mm-hmm. like that. But in this article, he's talking about young men and the sort of the absence or the mm-hmm. issue related to empathy, the development of empathy.
When I saw the title, my first assumption was that males don't have as much empathy.
Right.
That was my first thought.
Right.
Talk about stereotypes.
Right.
Right. And then I read it and I thought, oh, I made a little mistake.
Oops.
That's right. There was an oops on this one.
Yeah.
So, because he talks about this, what's happening to males,
mm-hmm.
and he provides all these statistics like one in six is either incarcerated or unemployed.
Right.
Okay. 45%. This is a 45% increase since 1980.
So yeah.
These kind of data suggest that something really significant is happening in the population. Mass shootings, and I didn't know this, mass shootings have increased by a factor of 3 since 2011. You know, we always think about Columbine, mm-hmm. 99, but even in the last 5 or 6 years, and in this case it would be 5 years, mass shootings have increased by a factor of 3. Suicide rates have increased among men, have increased by 50% since 1994.
Mm-hmm.
And so, once again, he gives more credence and provides more data for what we saw in yesterday's podcast,
right.
that the physical and mental health of men in advanced countries has declined appreciably over the last decade or two.
Right. Mm-hmm. And he even puts a line in here. He asks the question, are the kids really going to be all right? And his response to that is, your daughter probably has a better chance of being all right than your son.
That's scary.
Yeah.
Well, scary for men.
Right.
You know,
well, it's, again, it kind of goes back to what we talked about in the last podcast, that, you know, the concern is that, you know, not that one group, that things are faring better for women, but the fact that we, to do so, we're leaving boys behind.
Is right.
We need to be helping both.
And that to him is the empathy gap,
right.
that we don't,
right.
the message is we don't care about you.
Right.
That's the empathy gap that
right.
he's discussing. But he also makes the point that Gehrer makes, and that is that boys seem to be spending more time in virtual reality
right.
than they are in real reality.
Right.
That girls are going to school and applying to colleges and getting high GPAs.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, look at that's true when you think about the valedictorians and salutatorians.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you don't take the outliers,
right.
and they clearly are, the percentages for women far
right.
exceed those of men.
Right.
And he's saying that the issue that men are gravitating to virtual reality is an indication they're dropping back.
Mm-hmm.
And he said one of the reasons they're dropping back is they're getting the message that you're not worth it.
Right.
Girls are, but you're not. And I had never thought about that. We've said it before this week. I don't know what it's like for a boy to be in a classroom and to gradually become aware of their status
right.
by the different messages that are given to each gender.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it sounds as though, from what we've been reading this week, that this is much more pervasive than we had thought about before.
Certainly.
Because it's certainly, the numbers are really difficult to battle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really difficult to negate a lot of what the numbers say as far as, you know, who's doing well, who's not doing well, who has a better prognosis as it relates to
right,
where
we're... he's saying, your right. daughter might do okay.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so it's very concerning when we think about what this means for our sons mm-hmm. and for, you know, males as they're getting started in the workforce and, you know, graduating right. high school and everything.
The other sobering question that he asks is when he said, to ask what's wrong and why they aren't motivated is the wrong question.
Right.
And we should be asking a different set of questions. And I really like that mm-hmm. because he's going to reframe the argument.
Right.
He's saying that clearly society, and men, include me in that, society is not supporting or providing support, guidance, or the means for boys to do better. For young men, it's not there. And so they're losing their motivation, and they're losing long-term real-life goals. Mm-hmm. They simply don't have them anymore. And that's a concern to him.
Yeah.
The other thing I thought about is to say, why aren't they motivated? I wonder if there's a subset of boys who are more acutely aware of this
yeah.
than others. And that's who we're seeing who have motivation problems and behavior problems
yeah.
because they have given up and they've started to rebel.
Yeah.
Because they feel like they have no future or that nobody cares about them.
Yeah. That's an interesting thought. I'll have to like think back to some of the kids that we've worked
yeah.
with and things like that. But
I'm thinking,
you know, one of the things he puts in the article is this, again, this rise in involvement in this virtual reality.
Right.
And mm-hmm. I love, he said, you know, who can blame them for wanting to opt out?
Right.
Who can blame them for wanting to get away right. if this is what they feel, this is what they're experiencing in life? The challenge is, you know, you really have to get in and look at what's happening to see how overt versus how covert some of these messages mm-hmm. are.
That's right.
You know, certainly nobody is saying, you're fine, let's focus on the girls. Nobody's
no.
saying that overtly. But at the same time, we're certainly, again, the numbers suggest that it's very apparent that we're moving in a direction
mm-hmm.
or have moved successfully in a direction to favor one side over the other.
That's right. That's right. I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
What do these words mean?
I don't know.
You don't know either? I promised myself I was going to look them up,
Hikiko
and I didn't.
Mori,
I can't even pronounce them.
Yeah, yeah.
And neat, N-E-E-T-S. I don't know what they are.
Yeah.
But I didn't know whether maybe it was some of that stuff that
I did the same thing. I was going to look them up, but I...
So I have to do that.
Get a chance to do that. But it's fascinating.
But anyway, this Zimbardo, where's he from, by the way? Do you know?
New York, I think.
Is he at New Paltz? Oh, he's
Stanford. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so he did a study. He and a colleague did a study of 20,000 men. They about motivational problems, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And during the study, they said that what the males in their study talked about was the conflicting messages that they're getting
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
about what it is to be a male
right.
today.
Yeah.
Because you get one message from the media, you
mm-hmm.
get one message in video games, another message in sports, another message in school, another message from your family, and he said, maybe the problem, you know, where girls have this very clear,
mm-hmm.
this is what you'd have to do to succeed. Boys are given multiple models,
right?
Not sure which one to pursue,
right?
And he uses a phrase called toxic masculinity,
right?
I'm assuming, because he doesn't clearly define it here, I'm assuming that it's you know, if you're going to be a star athlete, you know,
mm-hmm.
you got to be a real grinder. Is that what toxic masculinity is?
Yeah, I think that he's talking about the or the way that I took it was that he's saying that what we traditionally consider masculinity
right.
is now considered a disease, a pathology, a problem. We shouldn't be think that to be masculine is a bad thing. And so And then he says, you know, so we need to, you know, we talk about men need to be more sensitive and men need to be be more involved with their kids and things like that. And then he talks about, you know, just 1 out of 5 elementary school teachers are male.
Right. And he's saying there are no roles.
So who, right, exactly. So you know, we say, you know, to be masculine is bad. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to be aggressive. You don't want to be this and that, things that we oftentimes associate with masculinity. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we have no male role models to demonstrate how you use some of this masculinity in a healthy, right, productive way.
And here again, I was just flabbergasted when I read what he was writing about this, that you mentioned that only one out of five elementary school teachers are, right, males. Okay, but also 40% of households are fatherless.
Right.
Okay, which is also alarming. But to me, the most sobering of all of these was he said, compare the amount of time, and you and I again have talked about this, but not in this precise way. Compare the amount of time that a boy watches television, mm-hmm, or plays video games, mm-hmm, compared to the amount of time that he talks with his father.
Right.
Now, let's go back 100 years.
Right.
Before TV, before, mm-hmm, all this stuff, you talked to each other.
Right.
And especially if a boy learned his father's trade.
Right.
They take an Amish community. Mm-hmm. A boy spends most of his day with his father.
Right.
And he's imparting, mm-hmm, these, yeah, male messages to his son,
yeah,
all day long, because his son is learning from his father or any apprentice relationship.
Right. And what's fascinating is the discrepancy in those, that history, mm-hmm, versus what we typically think of as history, in that, well, dads didn't spend as much time with their kids and things like that. Well, dads are home more often. Dads are encouraged to be more involved with their kids. But at the same time, we're probably talking with them and interacting with them less than we did before. Now, mm-hmm, at least in a real life sense. Mm-hmm. Most of the time when we talk to them, it's either for redirection, mm-hmm, or it's for very specific reasons. You did this, you know, you did this incorrectly, or you need to work on this, you know, mm-hmm, when we think about sports and things, right, like that. It's a lot of times out of redirection and, right, and that kind of stuff. We're not just talking with one another. This is, we've talked about this. We talked, mm-hmm, about this in our book, the Handbook for Raising an Emotionally Healthy Child. Part one is out now, where we talk about behavior modification, behavior, mm-hmm, management. And part two is going to come out soon. That's attention. And we really spend a lot of time in that section,
right,
talking about the importance of these interactions.
Right.
The way in which you talk with your kids is, mm-hmm, is so important.
Right.
And dads aren't currently talking to their kids the way, right, that they should.
No, and they don't really, it's not until the teenage years that many dads really, mm-hmm, get involved. They leave it up to mom. But I was thinking about soccer, for example. Imagine, or any sport, but imagine the advantage that a typical boy has if he has a father who's engaged, mm-hmm, at home. He has male teachers, mm-hmm, who serve, mm-hmm, as role models, and he has a coach.
Right.
Imagine having those three sources of, and they're all giving you these consistent messages, right, of what it means to be a male.
Right.
Most kids don't come anywhere, right, close to that. They, right, don't have teachers as models. Mm-hmm. Their father isn't in the home, and they don't participate in sports or other, yeah, activities where they can learn how to be a man. I had never thought about that until I read this.
Yeah. Not
perspective.
That way.
Yeah. You know, you think of, okay, he doesn't have a dad, but imagine the advantage bestowed, mm-hmm, if you have all three.
Right.
And I kind of did. I mean, I had teachers I looked up to. I had coaches who were sort of guiding, yeah, us, you, mm-hmm, know. Mm-hmm. And they all kept us, you know, I had that three-legged stool. I had, right, lots of support.
Yeah.
Many boys don't.
Yeah.
And you think of those boys who are fatherless and spending their time playing video games.
Yeah.
What are they learning?
Right. Exactly. So, yeah, it's a fascinating article. We definitely encourage,
yeah,
folks to read it.
It's worth the read. Yeah.
The link is in the show notes. Would love to hear what you guys think about it. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Anything else?
No, but I would love to hear from listeners on these topics.
Yeah.
This is brand new stuff for me.
Yeah.
Really fascinating.
All right, that's it for today. So, until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.